You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
Look for people in the men's group, in your church, that you get a good vibe from, that you feel that you can trust, that you do feel safe with to go, if I expose this part of my life or I talk about what's happening for me at a personal level, I get a sense that they're going to be okay with stepping into that space.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Dez.
Okay, well, welcome to this week's show. It is wonderful to have you tuning in. It is Tim and Dez with you as we step into this week's Momentum, and fantastic to have you tuning in. Hope you're doing well as we step into another great topic, which we'll get to in just a moment. But let's go straight to the man himself, Mr. Kennedy. How are you this week?
The man himself. Well, that's true, actually, because we're doing this show by ourselves. It's
indeed
just you and I today, which is really cool. So all those guys who can't stand an English accent and an Irish accent and are expecting an Aussie accent, they're going to be sadly disappointed.
We apologize in advance.
And just while I got the mic, I just want to remind guys about MomentumAustralia.org, our website. You know, lots of information on there that will help you on your journey, podcasts, and also YouTube videos and so forth. So please, And also if you want to donate to Momentum, you can do that at that site. And also our care line, if you're doing life on your own, please don't. Just reach out to our care line for a safe and confidential conversation, 1-800-000-636, 7 days a week.
Cool.
And how are you, Tim?
Yeah, man, I'm well. I'm looking forward to this week's show. Just on the care line, Des, bouncing off the back of that, you know, loneliness is certainly one thing, but there's also moments in life, and this is kind of what we're going to be talking about this week, where you perhaps are dealing with something, struggling with something, wrestling with something that you don't necessarily want to talk about in your current circles, right?
Yeah.
It might be a little bit too close to the bone, or you're just not sure that these people are going to have your back, so to speak, and you need something that's confidential and safe outside of your usual circle. That's another great reason to step into the care line space, that 1-800-000-636. Because we are talking this week about authenticity.
Yeah, we are.
Right? And we're going to explain why we're doing that this week in just a moment. But this is a space I think that a lot of us can struggle with, particularly in the church world days. And so I thought, you know, we might look at what that actually means to be authentic. But what does it mean to be authentic in certain parts of our life and also in our faith as well? I mean, that's going to... Yeah. We'll unpack that throughout the show, but let's start at the beginning, because you and I have been in the church world a fair bit and we've seen a bunch of stuff and we've been on the receiving end of certain things and we've had our own experiences. And let me throw to you then, for you, when you were thinking about this topic, why do you think that this is important, this idea of authenticity?
Well, it's fundamental and core to how we do life. You know, if we are not authentic and real and genuine and raw about our world, how on earth can we, you know, be examples for our family? How on earth can we be examples to other men? How on earth can we be Christ-like, you know, if we don't have those fundamentals of our life sewn in? And, you know, our relationship with our Father, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, our relationship with Jesus in terms of our faith is so reliant on us being open and honest in that context.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound good. It almost sounds a little idyllic, because let's be honest, I don't know that any of us has ever really fully reached that space of being 100%
I didn't say I was there. And you're right. You know, it's easy to say these words, and I guess other people looking at us will look at us and say, "Hey, man, he talks the talk, but does he walk the walk?" And it's very easy to fall into that trap where we use Christianese and language that we've sort of got to know in the church world.
Sure,
but it's not real for us in practical reality.
So I saw a quote, and I may not do it justice, but I saw a quote the other day that said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, "The world has become so fake that the truth really now starts to bother people." Something along those lines.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
I thought about that, and I thought that is true.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes it's easier to give people what we think they want as opposed to our real authentic self.
And that's true, certainly in the church circles. I mean, where do you find an authentic church? What does an authentic church look like? There are so many flavors. There are so many ways of looking at things that it's hard to know. And let me give you an example. I mean, over the last month or so, I've had the opportunity to go and talk to, you know, the local Catholic priest, for example. Mm. And in that conversation, you know, there was a authenticness that I hadn't seen in many evangelical Christians, and just in terms of his understanding of what they call the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper and so forth. And I warmed to that because I could tell he was genuine. And also I went to the local Anglican church. In fact, I was preaching in the local Anglican church, and you know, they had the old pews and, you know, little gates and things. And while that was cute, it actually was really authentic in terms of how they did that service. So, yeah, it's interesting, the whole panorama of being authentic.
So this may be a little challenging, but let me just push back on that a little, because I grew up in the Church of England, and there's something about that I also quite like, right? Yeah. There's something about the tradition, just the age of all of that, and to some degree, not the religiousness, but something reverent about that. And you know, I kind of like that, but part of me also thinks that I'm looking at it through my childhood eyes, which was very young and very innocent and you know, that sort of thing.
A question for you then, Tim, if I may. I mean, let's talk about that, the religious aspect of that the reverence side of that. Mm-hmm. Would it be your thought that the reverence that used to be in the church that appears now to be lacking in the church is not necessarily a good thing? Because that's authentic.
Well, I think here's the challenge, though, and this is where I think we need to define reverence versus religiousness.
Yes.
Right? Because, and this is what I was possibly going on to say, something along the lines of, I look back at that and I go, there was something about the reverence that I like, but now that I go back, after having been in, for me, the Pentecostal movement for many, many years, I go back to that and I go, man, this feels religious and stuffy and lifeless to me.
Yeah.
And once, when I thought it was reverent, I still see that piece, but I also feel like there's something about it that, for me personally, doesn't feel like a good fit anymore. Then moving to the Pentecostal movement, I'm like, there's something that's more free and open about that, but then you lack the reverence to some degree, but you can do. So I think it is finding that balance of, we want to give God reverence. Absolutely, we should. Mm. Absolutely give that space. But how do we do that authentically without it being religious, stuffy, dull, boring, feeling like I've got to fit in a box and, you know, be a certain thing that I don't feel comfortable being, to feel like I fit into this space?
Yeah.
And I think here's the irony of the church that we've potentially created these days, is that we've got these environments where at some stage, we've all come to realize that we need Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Right? I may have said this before. But we come into this space where we, at one stage, have realized that we're sinners and we need the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. And so we get saved. We put our hand up, we get saved. And then we enter this environment, which then, whether it's written, unwritten or not, I'm not sure, but it feels to me, and let's just say that as a disclaimer, it feels to me that then we create this environment where everybody's then got to show up and just be perfect, or feel like we've got to be perfect on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, rather than going, but hold on, at some stage I've acknowledged that I'm a sinner, and just because I now have Jesus in my life doesn't suddenly mean that all of my sin and all of my habits and all of my previous life just suddenly disappears. Yes, it's under the blood.
Yeah.
But I've got to work my way out of that. And that is part of the Romans 12 piece, where I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And that just takes a bit of time.
It takes a lifetime, in fact, not just a little time. And so, you know, you've been on the faith journey an awful lot longer than I have. And good on you for that. I was a bit slow in the uptake, but after 58 years, I finally got there. But the thing is this, that, you know, we are all on a journey. And I think what you've just described is one of the reasons why men are reluctant to go to church, who say to themselves, well, you know what, I'd rather go out into the bush and walk along and commune with God and talk and pray and, you know, listen to podcasts of scripture, because that for me is more authentic, that's more real. The question then is, how can we bring that realness back into the church community?
Mm, absolutely. And I think that that's a good thing to ponder for all of us, because I think, I mean, we wrote down in the notes, you know, if we get asked a personal question, for example, at church, do we feel pressured to give an expected response instead of what we're really thinking? And look, I have walked into churches, and of course, I won't name names, but I've walked into churches where you rock up on a Sunday morning and you go, how are you? And they go, oh, you know, God's good and this, that, and the other. And it's all scriptural Christianese kind of stuff. And I'm not knocking that God isn't good and that we shouldn't be saying these things, but it was like, actually, I asked how you were. I know that God is good, but I'm asking how you are. And this is the challenge when we get into these environments, we can hide behind our knowledge of scripture, you know, this kind of facade of I've got to be seen to be a good Christian and in a good spot. Otherwise, what are people going to think?
And it's also true of not only church, but men's groups too. I mean, it's very hard for men. We know that men can't open up and talk about what's going on inside of them in a mixed group, because, you know, their wife may be there or their partner, whatever, will be there. So it's not an appropriate setting. But even when guys get together themselves, and I go to quite a few different men's groups, very rarely does somebody say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this. I'm struggling with my relationship, or I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with this, you know, and so, or even things like, I'm struggling with my faith. You know, I don't hear from God. Why am I different from everybody else? Everybody's so super spiritual, but I'm sort of the clown on the edge who's struggling to be real, you know?
100%. So then let me ask you, Des, do you think that that is partly how we feel? Like the blockage of us opening up is partly that we're just uncomfortable in that space as blokes? Or is it partly that it's the environment that we're in that doesn't feel conducive to us stepping into that space, or perhaps a little bit of both?
Look, I think it's both. Look at men's groups, for example. I love going to a men's group where, you know, guys can pray with each other, you know, put their arms around each other. I remember going to one of the first groups I went to when I became a Christian was on the Gold Coast. And I went along, and it's a dear friend of mine, Paul Dinkelman, who will probably listen to this and remember the event. But we both went to this mixed connect group. And so the guy who was leading the group said, hey, let's just break into twos and threes and pray with each other. Mm. And so by coincidence, Paul, who I'd never met before, and I were standing face to face. And I said, Paul, I don't like praying in public. And he said, neither do I. And so that example was a real thing between him and I. We became really close mates after that, because
that was the great icebreaker.
yeah, that's right. Because we were prepared to be open and authentic with each other. And I think that's a real message for guys. If you're going to a group, and you know, there's nobody to talk, just say something. Just, you know, talk about your heart and what's bothering you. And you know, it's amazing how God can use that to influence not only you but the people that are around you.
I'm endorsing what you're saying, Des, but I'm also mindful of the fact that some guys listening have probably tried that at some stage, and maybe had some really poor experiences. And in fact, maybe shared something really personal that's come back to bite them.
That
somebody has used against them, or they've run to the pastor, or, you know, and they've been ostracized or frowned upon, or the black sheep, or whatever it may be. And I'm not trying to, again, knock the church, but what I am saying is that, I mean, yes, ideally, we will always push for authenticity or momentum and vulnerability and getting connected and opening up and having those sorts of conversations. I think also there should be a disclaimer that says, you know, perhaps test the water first with some people.
Yes.
And look for those sorts of people in the men's group, in your church, that you get a good vibe from, that you feel that you can trust, that you do feel safe with, to go, if I expose this part of my life or I talk about what's happening for me at a personal level, I get a sense that they're going to be okay with stepping into that space.
Yeah, and it's funny you should say that, because I've just started to go to a new church, and there's another guy who's from Tasmania. This gentleman's called Lloyd, and Lloyd And I go out fishing occasionally, not that I'm a fisherman, but we go out fishing in his boat. And, you know, that's a great opportunity just to talk about our world and talk about what's happening in our world. And over the last little few times, you know, we have got quite open and raw about how we feel about things, him and his life and me and my life. And the issues are very, very different. But, you know, one of the things that's interesting is you can look at somebody in on a Sunday morning and another guy and you say, wow, you know, he's, you know, got his life sorted out. He's got a lovely marriage. He's got, you know, he's got kids, he's got lots of money, he's, you know, whatever that looks like. But, you know, just under the surface of all of us, there's stuff there that needs to be dealt with and needs to be talked about. And that's when you find out who's authentic and who's real.
Yeah, 100%. Also, I will just say before we go to a quick break, I mean, the truth is that we talk about the highlight reel on social media, right? I mean, nobody's putting up their bad stuff. Okay, some people are starting to put up their bad stuff on social media, but a lot of it is highlight reels. This is the amazing parts of my life. Yes. And to some degree, we get that snapshot on a Sunday morning for an hour and a half when people rock up at a church. But of course, we know that that's not necessarily a true representation of their life, which is why it is always good to dig deeper. So look, we're talking authenticity on this week's Momentum. It's Tim and Dez doing just the two-block special today. Let's come back after the break and let's look at what that might look like for us to step into a greater authenticity. What sort of things do we perhaps need to do? What sort of questions might we need to ask ourselves? And then when it comes to our faith, how do we become more authentic? Not in just living out our faith, but perhaps sharing our faith. So a lot to look forward to on the other side of this break. This is Momentum with Tim and Dez. In the meantime, have a quick squeeze around our website, MomentumAustralia.org, and we'll be back with part two real soon.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
MomentumAustralia.org, by the way, is our website. You can check out a full bunch of stuff on there about who we are, where we are actually, Ed. There's a bunch of stuff on there too. You can have a look around and help you on your journey of life. You can hear the podcast. And of course, if you would like to support us, we do things pretty leanly as far as Momentum is concerned financially. So it'd be great to have you on board in a financial sense, because you know what, we reach men and women and families all around Australia, and not that we have all the answers, but we're just trying to help you guys on your journey as best we can. And of course, the Momentum Care Line too at 1-800-000-636, a service that can help you out if you need a confidential chat about something that's happening in your life. Because as we're talking about this week on authenticity, sometimes we can find it really hard to be authentic with those around us, and we're going to explore that space a little bit more now. You know, Des, we've talked about this idea of some of the blockages in church as to why we may struggle with authenticity, and this idea particularly that, you know, when we walk in on a Sunday morning, we've got the highlight reel on display. You know, we've not got the full picture of people's lives. We've just got the highlight reel, and people can often look really perfect and their lives look great and their families look all smiley and well-dressed and their kids reasonably well-behaved. And, you know, we can feel like we just don't cut it. You know, we've been arguing with the wife and the kids on the car on the way in, and we're down to our last 50 bucks in the bank, and, you know, we're hanging on by a thread here. And we walk into this environment where we get the highlight reel and feel like we don't fit.
Isn't it so true? I mean, there's a story is told of this couple here driving with their kids in the car, and they're yelling and screaming at each other on their way to church. And as soon as they walk in the door, they're the most loving couple you could ever come across.
We smile and we, exactly. That's right. And as guys, that can really throw us, let's be honest, right? We can feel like we're walking into this thing and we're going like, oh man, I don't feel like I fit here.
Yeah, so we talked about the two elements of that. One is, you know, that environment, the church environment, which sort of expects people to be good and hugging and all the stuff that we do. And that's okay in its own spot.
To look a certain way and sound a certain way.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, raise our hands when we're meant to and all that sort of stuff. But how do we feel inside? What is real inside of us that, you know, stops us from, you know, if I walk into church and there's a guy that I know and I walk up and say, hey, man, I need to talk to you because my life's a disaster.
Mm.
That's sort of authentic conversation that we need to be able to have.
We do. So then I think for guys particularly, let's explore some of the things. And maybe I'm going to use myself as an example, right? Just to...
Is that a good thing? I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Well, I think it is because, again, you and I have been around the church world long enough. And again, you know, my early days of church, right?
Yeah.
I did. I mean, we were in quite a conservative church, as in like it was, you know, black pants, black shoes and a shirt, and I was in the worship team. So we were always reasonably dressed. And there was a degree of feeling like you had to sound a certain way with your speech and certainly dress a certain way.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was certainly, it wasn't frowned upon, but it wasn't a conducive atmosphere to going, hey, I'm really struggling with X, Y, Z. Like it just wasn't that sort of church. And I remember feeling very kind of frustrated by that after a few years because I didn't feel that I could be authentic. And I felt like, not that I was performing to some degree, but in some ways I kind of was without realizing it.
It's interesting talking about that. Actually, a church I went to not that long ago, one of the guys who was the leader of the worship team, and after, it was two services, and after the second service, he actually broke down. And he broke down because he was overcome with what was happening in his own world. He just sort of, his existence fell apart. And not that it was earth-shattering, but I just remember saying, wow, that's amazing that he is so authentic that, you know, he just has to deal with that.
Here's the flip side of that, Des, right? Is that I look at that and I go, on one hand, it's brilliant that he did that. On the other, it's sad that he's had to wait to get to that point.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That he actually no longer cares about what anybody else in the congregation is going to think. I'm so overcome by this. It's just coming out of me whether I want it to or not.
But isn't that the way we should be? Isn't it? I mean, if we've got stuff in our world, if you can't open up in a church setting like that, you know, unless it's something that's a man type issue, but, you know, if you can't open up and just let it all out, man, where do you do that if you don't do it there?
Well, this is the challenge, and this is why I think a lot of men struggle with church, because they don't feel that they've got an environment they can do that, which is why we are always pushing for men to get connected, whether it's in church. We're not knocking that. Not all churches are bad. That's not what we're saying.
No.
Whether it's you've got a church that you can do that, or you find that in your men's group, or you take it off-site through the week, do a lunch, do a coffee, do a one-on-one with somebody you feel like you can trust and offload there. Or even if you don't want to do that, get a professional, pay for it. Right, go to a counselor, go to a psychologist, whatever it may be, but you need to have an outlet for that stuff. And also then, you know, so we've talked a little bit about that there, about environment, right? And that how that can oppress us from opening up. So find an environment, find a space where you can feel like you can be authentic. The second thing is then, Des, what's actually happening for me in that moment, right? So is it the environment and does that shut me down? Or is it something greater happening for me? So let me expand on that. It might be that then suddenly, if I step into that environment, I don't want to say anything because I carry shame around who I am or what I'm currently doing, maybe still as a Christian, or things that I have done in the past. Maybe it's on me. Maybe that's not the church. Maybe that's actually me that I'm carrying that. And so that stops me from actually being authentic. Maybe it feels when I walk in, and I see all of these perfection things. Well, my self-worth and my self-identity isn't super great, so I don't feel good enough.
Yes.
I don't feel like I belong here, and it's actually got nothing to do with the church. It's actually everything about how I feel about myself that I'm then, to some degree, projecting onto the church, right?
Yeah, so, I mean,
there's two sides of the story here.
Absolutely. And you know, the whole embarrassment thing, even in front of our mates and so forth, because we do put this image up that, you know, we're also super spiritual or whatever. And so, you know, it's interesting. It really is interesting. Yeah.
Well, the irony of that is that, you know, I like to say, and I didn't coin this phrase, but I have heard it and I quite like it. You know, we're spiritual beings having an earthly experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the truth is, you know, it always makes me laugh when Christians say, oh, I don't want to sound super spiritual. I'm like, but we are. Like, we're in an earthly body, but we are, I believe, spirit being. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, you know, I mean, we take on a different character and different nature, and we should be. That's the whole idea of being Christians. Yes. We're becoming more Christ-like. But as I like to say, the salvation is instantaneous, but the transformation is a lifetime. And if we can get that as a church, but as men, to go, it's not okay that 30 years down the track, I still might be struggling with something. But until I get authentic with it, you know, I'm about that. with somebody and have some accountability, take some responsibility, do some backstory work, I'm not going to get that healed or fixed. It's not magically going to happen.
No, that's right. Right.
And so there is that walking out of the journey, but also, you know, not going, oh, well, God's grace is enough so I can just keep sinning and keep whatever. Yeah. No. Let's find that balance, right?
That's not authentic. Authentically wrong. I mean, the question is, because obviously men who are in that space and who want to get out of that space need to ask themselves some, you know, questions internally before they talk about it externally. They need to talk about it internally to themselves and say, how am I going to confront this issue? You know, what I need to do in me? What do I need to pray about that I can get changed in? What are your thoughts around those questions that we would ask ourselves?
Yeah, I think the first thing is come back to the only thing I can control, in inverted commas, is myself.
Yeah.
Right. So if I go into a church, it's up to me to discern whether this is a space that I can and whether it's me that's stopping it or whether it's a space that I can't, and therefore I need to find somewhere that's more authentic for me. I think that's the first thing, right? The second thing is then if we discern that it's me, then I need to take a look at myself and go, okay, where do I genuinely feel like I may be stopping myself or I'm chameleoning, I'm wearing a mask, I'm becoming all things to all men, but not in a good way because I'm afraid of what they may think, their judgments, my shame, whatever it may be. I think there's some deeper questions that need to be asked as guys to go, when stuff happens for me and I feel a certain way or I feel shut down and blocked down or whatever, what's happening for me personally? And there might be some of the backstory that I need to look at.
Yeah.
And therefore, what's my trigger points, right?
Yeah.
And for a lot of us, there's childhood trigger points that are still active as adults. We just don't recognize them. And it could be something from way, way back that has been a deep trigger that happens in certain environments or when certain people speak to me a certain way or I feel rejected or whatever it may be, and it triggers something very deep down, which again is not the church's problem. That's actually on me. So I think the first thing for guys is get aware of what's actually happening for you. Check the environment and go, is it an environmental thing or is it more about me? And if it is about me, then let's have some discussions around that with my wife or a good friend or a counselor or a psychologist or something and start delving into that space.
Yeah.
I think then there's the knock-on effect of that before we run out of time for this week's show is asking myself some questions about being authentic, firstly with myself.
Yeah.
Right. And let's be honest, that's a tough gig starting right there.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just end the show right there and leave it there, but get authentic with yourself. What does that mean? That means you're going to have to be honest with yourself about the good parts and the bad parts.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Accepting of both, realizing that you have both and going, these are my strengths and these are the things I can still work on. How do I do that? What's my plan of action with those things, right? That's the first thing. How do I become more authentic with my wife and kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Do they get, what version of me do they get?
And there's some things you don't, it's not healthy to share with your family in that sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we need
absolutely.
To be mindful
and I've seen that
too.
Guys trying to be too authentic with their wives and telling them everything, and it actually hurts the marriage more than it does help the marriage.
Yeah.
I think it is good to be authentic with our kids as well.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place for that to perhaps explain how we're feeling or why we did that, or certainly apologize to our kids as well. I think that's important. And then of course the external factors of how do I be more authentic with my friends? How am I more authentic at work?
Yes.
What version of me do they get? And of course at church, you know?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, you know, the more we can feel we can just be ourselves, the freer you are. And some of that is caring less about what people think, but also doing the inner work and going, I'm comfortable with where I'm at. I'm not perfect, but I'm on the journey.
Yes. You know? I'm working on it. So I'd like to share it.
I'm aware of it and I'm working on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So look, we've covered a fair bit of ground in this week's show, and hopefully some of that's been helpful for you, this idea of authenticity. How can you be more authentic as a human yourself, but also to other people and to those around you? Is it an environmental thing or is it a me thing? And I'm stopping myself because I've got some stuff to do. There's a lot in that, and some of our previous shows will help you in that too. So I encourage you to have listened through some of those at MomentumAustralia.org. And Momentum Calendars, of course, if you'd like a confidential, if this has brought up some stuff for you and you want to have a confidential chat, that is a safe space you can go to, 1-800-000-636.
Maybe you and I need to phone the Caroline.
After this, absolutely. And hey, look, that's it for this week's show. It's been really great to have you tuning in. And again, encourage you to listen to some other shows in the meantime, MomentumAustralia.org. And we will look forward to being back with you again next week. Until then, you take care and God bless.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.